I have two grown children. My kids always thought I was a biggest pain in the butt because I insisted on certain actions and they didn't appreciate it. But I also noticed that their girlfriends thought I was a witch because their mothers were friends. But when they needed a mommy, they came to me. When they needed support, emotional support, they came to me. And I think when it really breaks down, and I've told my sons this many times, you can have all the friends you want, son, but you only got one mom, and I'm it, like her or not.
Now, that's a provocative way to start the show today. Thank you, Mom. I'm sure it evokes some thoughts on your mind about this whole topic of, is your role as a parent to be a parent? What is that role? What does that mean? How does that relate to being a friend or a BFF, as they say, with your kids? I've seen parents who really get that out of balance. I see some parents who think that being a parent is to be harsh, authoritarian, in control all the time, managing their kids. And then I've seen others who say, no, my role is to be their best friend. And then when the parenting has a need where there has to be some discipline, there has to be people being held accountable, the best friend isn't the one that's going to do that. And so there's a balance. And the mom you heard is right. In your life and my life, we're going to have a lot of friends. We're going to have a lot of people that we associate with, but there's only one mom, good, bad, or indifferent. There's only one dad. And so what does that mean? Now, I know some of you say, well, that's not true. We went through a divorce and I had a stepmom, and I understand that. But I think the message comes through that, hey, listen, there's only going to be a mom and a dad in your life, in a relationship, and they have a different role. What is that balance? What have you found? All right, let's carry on with the topic today on being a parent. What does that mean? How does that relate to being a best friend?
My husband and I intentionally with our children do equal amount of reading time for equal amount of TV time. They hate it. We love it.
My mom used to tell us in the summertime if we were bored, she would be happy to find us a job around the house that we could do so that we wouldn't be bored anymore. So we just learned not to say that we were bored because we would have to work if we were bored. So I thought that was a very clever way of keeping us from complaining.
We started praying with them in the evenings, and we have just noticed a wonderful change in our children. It has changed our family, our parenting, everything has changed, and we're so blessed, and thank you so much for your show, and keep doing what you're doing.
Oh, we're glad to do it. Here at the Intentional Living Center, every day we focus on a particular area of life that we know matters to you, and of course, we put it all on the foundation of being intentional in our faith walk. Because ultimately, God's intention for you is good. God's intention for you as a parent is good. His intention for you to be a successful parent is good. The question is, what are our intentions in terms of following through and doing what God plans for us? We ask the question, when have you had to remember that you're not your child's best friend, you're their parent? Jennifer says on Facebook, many times. Diane agrees, says oftentimes. Christine says, too often than I care to admit. Connie says, today, while trying to be patient with my almost two-year-old, powerfully strong-willed toddler. Jamie makes an interesting statement on Facebook. Jamie says, never. I never have to remind myself of that. The best interest and well-being will always be number one. I am here to teach them, guide them, listen to them, and instruct them. And, you know, that's a definition of a parent. That's not a definition of a best friend. A best friend is not here to teach you, guide you, and instruct you. That's not the role of a friend. That's certainly a role of a parent. To be a disciplinarian, remember, that comes from the root of disciple, meaning to train, to teach, to nurture, not just to discipline. I mean, not to punish, rather, but to discipline means as a parent, we have an opportunity and a responsibility to train and teach. I think of my parents who are now gone, they're in heaven, but their role when I was younger was to train and teach. I didn't need them to be my best friends. I needed to know I was safe and secure with them. I needed to know that they were you know, that there was a sense of boundaries, that things were going to be okay. Kids are crying for that. Think of it. You don't like to play a game and not know where the boundaries are. I remember as a kid, we'd go play football down the street. We had a big lot. And all the guys would get together and play football. The first thing we'd do was put, you know, the rock over there in that corner, and it's that tree over there in that corner, and it's Fred's house, you know, the driveway over on that side, because you got to know where the boundaries are. And one of the jobs we have as a parent is setting boundaries for our kids. And when we're friends, what often happens is we don't set the kind of boundaries that our kids need to know that there's a loving kind of framework in which they can be raised. And that's why being an intentional parent is so critical in terms of setting those kind of boundaries. Maybe you don't agree. Maybe you've said, hey, I am my kid's best friend, and that's the way it works. 888-888-1717.
Hi, my name is Rochelle. I have been a stay-at-home mom for over 8 years now, and I have just recently realized that during all these years, I have been dealing with my children and not building loving relationships with them. By the grace of God, I am going to begin to rebuild those relationships with my children.
I just wanted to make a comment about how to be intentional about spending time with your young children. I'm a very busy mom. I work at business in my home. I'm a worship leader at my church, and I incorporate my kids in everything that I do.
In our home, we started with the biblical principle of if you don't work, you don't eat. Our oldest son, he has a chart with his chores that he has to do every day, and if we get to supper time and he shows him not to, then he doesn't get to eat supper. He goes to bed, and pretty soon his stomach wins the battle, and he gives in and gets his work done.
Wow. Wow. Some homes, the kids would be 16 and weigh 50 pounds. Hey, listen, you know, today we're focusing on relationships with your kids. You heard some spots there talking about relationship with their children. And that first one, you could hear that first caller with tears talking about, I've got to rebuild my relationship. I think there's two extremes that we can get into with this parenting thing. We can be trying to be BFFs with our kids, and it's all about having them like us and being friends with them, and we give way then to not being an authority in the home. The other extreme is to be so authoritarian that it's my way or the highway. I am the boss, that we don't have a relationship. And I think the key here as a parent is knowing that there's a relationship that we want to have with our children, but it's based first and foremost on what God has given us as a responsibility and an opportunity to be a parent. Okay? All right, let me go to our first caller. Is it Ricardo or Ricarda? Ricarda.
It's Ricarda.
There you go. Welcome to the program. How are you today?
Thank you. I'm good. How are you?
Good. How do you weigh in on this friendship thing as a parent?
I'm a step-parent, and my stepdaughter has a BFF, a best friend relationship with her biological mother, but she is living with us full-time now, and we really struggle with, with her having any respect for me as a mother figure in our home, and so we're just really kind of struggling with that in our relationship, in our marriage. You know, we try to follow the guidelines of letting my husband, the biological parent, being the disciplinarian. But I'm not sure if that's really working out either.
Well, so what I hear you saying is you become the bad guy.
Yes.
And I can hear it. That's hurting you, too. I can hear that.
Absolutely. Because I do want to have a good relationship with her, but right now, I mean, it just really seems almost impossible.
Mm-hmm. And so you see biological mom or mom being too permissive or giving in just to be liked?
Yeah, absolutely.
And your husband sees that too? Yeah.
My husband sees that, absolutely.
Well, obviously when we get into this blended family scenario, the dynamics change a lot. Because now the child who didn't ask to be in a blended family, didn't ask for the parents to split up, is now trying to negotiate all those relationships. And many times children, just by virtue of their age and their experience and their expectations, they find that very difficult. And so they can lash out, or they can play games to put the adults into a difficult position. You're not going to change mom. Mom is mom, and her relationship with her daughter is going to be the way it is, and you can't change it. I think for you, you're doing the right thing, having dad be the primary disciplinarian. He's the one that's following through. He's the one that's setting the tone in the home. And your job is to have a good relationship with your daughter. But the key is your husband needs to stand up and make sure that the patterns of behavior that are appropriate in the family and in the home are going to be followed through. Because it's really tough in a blended family for the stepmom or stepdad to become the disciplinarian. And we really discourage that as much as possible and let the primary parent step up and take that responsibility. Is that?
Yeah, listened to the program, and we've really gotten on the website and looked at a lot of the resources that you guys are offering. And we just really appreciate having that to go to and where we are right now.
Well, I appreciate your call, Ricarda, because you remind me that in a blended family, you're going to have to lean more toward friendship and having a friendship and being a friendly person with that stepdaughter. But there's still boundaries that have to be put in place. You know, and what I'm telling you, you know internally, but living it out's tough. Your job is not to be, you know, the best liked mother, because you're not going to win that battle, obviously. Your job is to support your husband, to be a consistent stepmom in the family, setting in a tone in the family that's loving and supportive, and allowing your husband to stand up and be a strong figure of setting the tone. We've said that over the years, and we stand with it. If you're trying to blend a family, make sure that the primary parent is the one that's setting the tone, okay? All right, you can come join us. We're talking about friendship and your kids. Maybe it is that you find that to be difficult. What do you wrestle with? 888-888-1717. Okay, Susie's on the line in Michigan. Hi, Susie.
Hi. Hello.
How are you today?
I'm okay, and how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Appreciate your call. What's your take on this?
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying about being friends with your kids, but also, too, that also branches off into when the kids are grown. You know, like even in their 20s and 30s. And I have a daughter who's great. She's got 5 kids, 10 and under. And she's just very diligent about staying in touch with me because we don't live in the same state. And I have a son who lives even farther away. And he and I used to be really close. Mm. And then I had made a comment one time. And since that time, our relationship has been really rather strained. But he's in missions. And he speaks all over the place, and it just seems like to me there should be, I guess, more forgiveness there, acceptance there.
Have you asked for forgiveness?
Pardon?
Have you asked for forgiveness?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, this has been going on for like, 9-10 years.
Do you remember a time when you went to your son and said, you know, when I said that, I was wrong, and here's how I was wrong. Will you forgive me?
I can't recall, Randy, specifically.
Okay, then you
Maybe
probably
I should
didn't.
Do that again.
But you probably didn't, Susie, because that's a pretty important moment in time when we take full responsibility. We can't be responsible for your son not responding to that, but you can be responsible for taking that initiative. One of the greatest gifts we can give, we talk about friendship with adult sons and daughters. If we've done something stupid and we're aware of it, we should take full responsibility, just like they should. And if you've made a mistake, you've said something that was wrong or did something that was off base, one of the best gifts we can give to our adult sons and daughters is simply go and say, honey, I love you so much. When I said this, or what I said, I was wrong. I take full responsibility for it. Will you forgive me? We're putting the ball into their court then, but we're being very clear, and not to dance around it, but to be very clear. And let me say this, we need to do that sometimes with an 8-year-old. You go to the 8-year-old that you messed up with as a parent, said something stupid, did something stupid, and you go and say, I love you, and I was wrong as a parent to do that. Will you forgive me? I think that's a powerful thing that we do with our kids and even with our grandkids and with anyone when we take that kind of full responsibility.
I have 8 children, and I was working 2 jobs last year, 2010. I just couldn't do it anymore, not for my kids. So my one intentional thing, I did resign from my job that I had been at for 15 years, and that was quite the change for me. But that second job that I've been working at, I'm actually working less hours and making more money. My kids and my husband are much happier. It has made a huge impact. It has made a huge difference.
By being intentional, the thing that I try to do now as a parent, I try to see if there's an argument or something, where am I at fault in it, and what I can do to see their issue and my own issue. I always try to see where am I at fault in this, and try to look at myself a little bit in this area.
What I've been intentional about, which is praying with my children on our way to school, I started doing that when my daughter was in kindergarten. Now she's in 5th grade, and I have 2 more that are in school and 1 going to school next year. And it's so important to them, even if the day gets started off bad or in a hurry or in a rush, to always send them off on their way with prayer.
We've got the smartest and most caring listeners in the world here at Intentional Living. Thank you for sharing these thoughts on parenting today. Love to hear yours as well. Your comments are always welcome on our story comment line at 888-1717. We'd love to hear from you. Today, talking about parenting, and you know, to be an intentional parent, just a reminder, don't do for your kids things they can do for themselves, because when you do, you will weaken them.
Join Dr. Randy Carlson for laughter and inspiration at the Intentional Love Marriage Date Night.
On our first date, I took Donna to the football game. She leans over to me and says, Randy, my hands are cold. I say, why don't you sit on it? My goal is to help you see today that you can go from where you are today to love and respect.
Join Dr. Randy at the Intentional Love Marriage Date Night, Saturday, November 4th at 7 p.m. at New Beginnings Church in Albuquerque. Register now at theintentionallife.com.
You know, looking forward to being in Albuquerque with all of our friends across New Mexico, and some, maybe you, coming from far distance, maybe making a vacation and saying part of it's going to be coming to a date night in Albuquerque. Love to have you be a part of it. Again, you just heard the mention, November the 4th, Saturday night in Albuquerque, couple of hours, two and a half hours. We're really going to unpack some things about living intentionally in your marriage. I promise you'll be encouraged and smiling and be challenged as well to take one thing away that you can really apply to your marriage. In fact, I bring my one thing wristbands along and make sure that it's available to you as you make a commitment for one thing for your marriage. And hundreds of people walk out and say, hey, here's my one thing for the next 30 days. We're going to focus on some of the things that can derail us in our relationship and marriage. Just like a train that can get derailed sometimes quite easily from the track, that happens in our life. And there's some reasons for that. One reason is a lack of agreement about our values, our faith, maybe about marriage or parenting. We're going to talk about that. How about communication? Such a huge thing, and yet many people are very ineffective in their marriage. They don't communicate well. How do you communicate? How do we eliminate criticism or emotional blocking or defensiveness? And then, of course, poor habits, addiction, social media, money, gambling, food, these things, these habits. Listen, about 50% of what we do every day is just habitual. How can we change our habits? And then unforgiveness. It's going to be a very worthwhile couple of hours. I hope that you'll come and be a part of it. We have limited space. Tickets have been going like crazy. And so if you want to come and be a part of it, it's in Albuquerque, just go to theintentionallife.com and click on the events. I'm convinced that one of the reasons we see a lot of sorry old people is because we collect all of this garbage year after year after year. Don't deal with the little things in our life. And then all of a sudden we turn 70 or 80 or whatever. And it's just like it's hanging off of us like Velcro, sticking to us, because we've carried all of these little things through all of these years. That's an excerpt from the master class teaching this month on when small things aren't so small. And I'd really love your feedback after you listen to it. And by the way, I hope you'll share it with your family or someone you know who's struggling with some of the small things in marriage, you know, the way we communicate, some of the things I just mentioned that we're going to address at that conference. That's coming out here shortly to all of our members. And by the way, for all new members this month for Intentional Living, we have a handpicked book by Max Lucado as a gift called Outlive Your Life. I love the title and I love the message. It's our gift to you as you join us. Just call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, or go to theintentionallife.com and hit donate.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio.
Back to calls talking about friendship with your kids. Where's the line between parenting and friendship? Amy's on the line from Arizona with a question. Hi there.
Hi there. Yes, so I'm a new stepmom to a 9-year-old, mm-hmm. and sometimes recently I've been really struggling with what my role is and boundaries. I was raised with a mother who was very permissive, and I didn't have any boundaries, and I was a wild child, and so I feared that from kids, and I didn't have kids, and now I'm married and I have a kid, and I'm trying to figure out like what my role is and
uh-huh. Well, what's your relationship like with your stepdaughter?
Pretty good. Uh-huh. She's a sweetheart. She's very she's a good girl, and however, sometimes she gives me these looks
We know exactly what the looks are. We've all had it as a parent. Yeah, we hear it. And now, Amy, is your husband taking a lead? Have the two of you gotten on the same page and talked about, you know, how you want your home to be run?
Yes. I think that he has said that he just wants me to be me and to be the friend. And when I do be the friend, I feel sometimes that I don't get the respect, and so yeah. I started looking up of like how to gain more respect, and so to not be so lenient and not to spoil as much, and
a couple things. Well, go ahead. You said you realized what?
Well, I've been realizing that looking at the different parent styles, uh-huh. like he's more like the authoritarian,
right?
I was raised with a permissive, and I don't believe in that. So I think more of giving reasons, like he will, kind of dictate of what the rules are, but then I will follow it up by explaining why those rules are intact and, you know, why we have those, so mm-hmm. that she understands and is more soft, you know, on that.
Well, Amy, my guess is you're probably doing a better job than you think. Most parents are. We're hard on ourselves, and you're getting started with a new job here, being a stepmom, first time around with kids. I'm going to give you a couple principles that are really critical. One is you and your husband need to be on the same page. Number two, you have to be consistent. One day you can't be the best friend. The next day you got to follow through and be the disciplinarian. I think as a step-parent, you got a unique challenge and opportunity. But your husband has to be the one to come along and support. If there's disrespect, your husband's the one that has to step up and say, honey, I love you, but you cannot treat, you know, my wife, your stepmom, that way in this home. And he needs to be taking a stronger lead. Now, if you say he's real authoritarian, he needs to get on the same page with you. I think being an authoritarian parent long-term is going to bite you. We want to be an authority in the home, but not an authoritarian, and there's a difference. And when we get to the place where we're an authority in the home, meaning that we have reasonable rules, we follow through, we're a disciplinarian in terms of discipleship, training, teaching, instructing our children, holding them accountable, setting limits, and doing that together, that's a beautiful thing. Tell you what, you hang on. I want to send you Raising Responsible Adults. Sally, would you get her address, and we'll send her the book and the study guide from our bookstore, okay? And we'll do that right off. So hang on, Amy. We'll get that information from you and we'll send it to you today. We'd love to hear your stories on our storyline at 888-888-1717.
Our intentional one thing is to be faithful in the moments that we have and realize that we cannot control every single detail.
Jeremy and Michelle Jernigan are foster parents who are discovering the power of one thing.
Through this process, I think we've developed a greater dependency on God. You enter in this world of fostering and you realize you're not in control.
You know, we take this child who is so vulnerable, so we're more aware of all of kind of the darkness in the world at the same time, but we also feel like we're truly living at this point in our life. We feel closer to the heartbeat of God.
One of the greatest blessings of being a foster parent is that you literally have the chance to change someone's story. When we think back to our little guy day one, he was on a different trajectory, and because of our involvement with him, literally has changed his future. And we don't know where story goes from here, but we know that we've had the chance to change that, and it's an incredible blessing.
Our intentional one thing is to be faithful in the moments that we have and realize that we cannot control every single detail.
Discover the power of one thing in your life. Take the Intentional One Thing Challenge at theintentionallife.com/one thing.
We're the Jernigans, and this is our intentional life.
Hey, thank you guys, the Jernigans, sharing their journey of their family and taking the principles of one thing and applying it to being a foster parent and loving those kids. By the way, that's the audio from a video that we recorded with them of their story. And when you come to our website at theintentionallife.com, there's a lot of helpful resources there, but there's also some of these intentional living stories that I just find so encouraging as you hear people like the Jernigans and others just say, hey, here is our intentional life story and the difference it's made in their life. Very powerful. Well, today we've had a chance to hear from parents and talk about being a parent or being a best friend. And I think we all can conclude at this point that our goal is to know the difference between friendship and parenting. That's not mutually exclusive, but there are times that the parenting is a little more direct than the being the friend. But first and foremost, understanding that our responsibility is to be a parent. That's our title. And that's will be the main title. Our kids are growing up now and we have grandkids, but we're still mom and dad, right? That doesn't change. Now our roles change. I mean, we got a little different relationship, obviously, with an adult son or daughter than you do when they're 13 years old. That changes. That's healthy. That's biblical. We see that progression of what God's intention is, but you're still mom and you're still dad, and that, and the power of that dynamic, the power of that relationship is so very important and doesn't change. All right. Hey, we got to wrap it up today. Thanks for being a part of Intentional Living. Thank you for supporting the ministry. We'll see you next time from Intentional Living.